I have Eddie Mullen on the line. He's from SIP2, and I believe there's a CE supervisors strike going on at present. And
yes.
Basically, it's to do with them having a no occupational pension provision at all. And this is
yep.
very unique in the public sector. So can you tell us about this, why this is coming out?
Okay. Well, in 2008, there was a Labour Court recommendation that an occupational pension scheme would be provided for CE supervisors, stroke assistant supervisors, and that it would be funded by the state. Since 2008, we've been trying to get that dealt with, and we got a commitment from the last government in the form of Brendan Howlin in September 2015 that we should deal with that through the High Level Forum. Unfortunately, the government changed in 2016 and that issue took a backstep. The present government do not appear interested in bringing this to a resolution for us at this point in time.
Right. And why is it that CE supervisors don't have that pension in place? Don't all public servants have that?
They're not deemed to be public servants. They don't qualify for the public service stability agreement. They're fully funded by the state, but they're working for autonomous companies. There's about 950 schemes, I suppose, throughout the country, and they're deemed to be private citizens in that regard. But having said that, they're fully funded by the government, and the government basically dictates everything from terms and conditions, job descriptions, everything. They have no autonomy whatsoever to deal with issues such as pension now, for example.
Well, when we go to CE supervisors and the role that the CE supervisors do within these projects, can you tell us a bit
yes.
about that?
Yeah, the schemes are quite varied. It could be Meals on Wheels, it could be environmental, it could be tidy towns, it could be childcare, it could be elder care. So the schemes are quite varied, and they do vary across the country. And the supervisor's job is to basically, on behalf of the government here, because they look after the materials costs and the training for the individuals, set up the training for the individuals on the scheme, the participants, and look after the construct of the scheme as such.
Then how many participants are within the scheme? There's quite a number of people. I did a CE scheme here myself there. I just finished up last year, and they're fantastic schemes to get you, you know, into work.
Yeah. Probably at the moment, there's about 22,500 or so participants in all of the schemes around the country. It varies again from scheme to scheme, but generally schemes would have maybe a ratio of 20-25 participants to one supervisor.
Right, yes, and it is a lot, isn't it? 22 to one.
It is.
Yeah. And then if the CE supervisors, you know, if they're not taken seriously now, and they of course they need a pension if they're working.
Yes.
What will happen then to all that 22,000? Will they just go back onto the live register?
Effectively, they do go back onto the live register if they don't get employment.
Hmm.
And the government are looking at changing the structure of the CE at the moment. They've set up an interdepartmental group, and they're looking at activation measures and social measures as such, splitting that. Now, we have looked through Congress to have an involvement in that. We can't get an involvement in that. They're not allowing us to have any say in relation to it. So the people who look after the schemes on the grounds have no say in the changes that take place in relation to their work.
Why do you think, I mean, since this recommendation was made in the Labour Court in 2008, why is it, I've read somewhere that it has become a torturous process, that the Labour
yeah.
Relations Commission, and why is it such a torture? Why aren't they putting this in place?
What they're basically saying is that they're not the employer, that the government is not the employer. Now, they may not be the employer, but everything that happens on a scheme. And it's funny that even though they're not the employer, they want to know the names of all of the supervisors who are going to be on strike today. Why would they want to do that if they weren't the employer? Basically, they do not allow any scheme to have autonomy as to how it deals with its materials budget or anything like that. And the scheme, even though they are companies set up, they have absolutely no autonomy to deal with issues such as pensions for the supervisors. Now, there are some schemes, particularly in local authorities, where supervisors have a pension by virtue of the fact that they're covered in the local authorities. And that's an anomalous situation. How is it that they can have a pension scheme funded by the state and the remaining supervisors can't have a pension scheme funded by the state? So there's a clear discrepancy there, I would suggest.
And I believe the protest has been held outside the Department of Finance and not the Department of Social Protection. Why is that?
Because at the end of the day, the Department of Finance determines whether the money will be paid out or not. They give very little leeway to any of the other departments in how to spend money. And the government, the Dáil, last April, decided that the minister should engage with the trade unions to find a resolution to this issue. They took a vote on it, and only the government parties, Fine Gael and the Independent Alliance, voted against it, you know. So the Dáil basically took a decision last April that the minister should engage to bring this to an urgent resolution. That hasn't happened, unfortunately.
And I mean, the majority of the TDs supported this recommendation when they had a vote last year in the Dáil. And yet still nothing's happening. And what about the supervisors' wages? They haven't been increased in quite some time.
They haven't been increased, I suppose, since about 2007, 2008. You know, nothing has happened. We've put in for a pay increase. We can't get anyone to talk to. They won't come and talk to us. That's what the High Level Forum was set up to do, and they're not engaging through that. They also, the department, are breaking agreements that are in place for years. Specifically, there's an agreement there on enhanced redundancy payments for people made redundant dating back to 2002. They have broken that. They've refused to go to the WRC, which is the normal course in relation to these issues. So government departments aren't basically adhering to their own agenda, i.e. that the trade unions should go to the WRC, that the trade union should be bound by Labour Court recommendations. The government parties don't seem to understand that the same should apply to themselves, and that agreements are worth more than the paper they're written on. That agreement is being broken by the department, and they won't engage with us in relation to it.
Yes. It just, you seem to be banging your head against a wall, which seems to be a lot of the time. A lot of the people in the country are of the same. There's also the CE review being launched by Regina Doherty. What does this mean, and where is that going?
That's an interdepartmental group set up to look at the whole CE scheme at the moment. We've obviously asked for an engagement in relation to that, and we haven't been invited to any discussions. You know, it appears they want to do is to separate social inclusion from activation. And, you know, they've made changes to CE over the past. They've never engaged with us about those changes. And some of those changes that they've made have cost the state more than they should have.
I see. I don't know. The sound seems to be a bit bad here. I'm just hearing different noises in the background. I hope it's not as bad going out live on yeah. air. So what do they hope then to gain by today? Do they hope to get talks started again? Or
yeah, that's effectively what we want to do. We want to engage with the department and with the minister at this stage. He has to engage with us at this point in time with the purpose of bringing this to a proper resolution. The anomalies are there. There are certain supervisors who are getting a pension by virtue of the fact of where they work out of. And it is most unfair to the others that they don't get the same entitlement. It is all coming out of public funding. And the cost of this is not extreme in the scheme of things. It probably would cost between 4 and 6 million per year maximum. You know, and that's not a lot of money in the scheme of things at this point in time.
No, it's definitely not. When you think about the alternative, if they aren't going to have this security of pension yeah. and it all falls through, and then there's 22,000 participants back yeah. On the live register. So, I don't know, do you think then, will this be the first of many?
It'll be the first, and we'll review the situation yes. after today, obviously, mm-hmm. And we'll see where we go after this. Ideally, the high-level forum, which was set up to deal with these issues, would be tasked with finding a resolution, but there is very little point in tasking that forum to deal with or to find a solution if there isn't genuine, open commitment to do so from those participating. And I would call on the government parties that they would attend these discussions in a proper framework, with an open mind, to finding a resolution, not to finding problems that are totally not related to the issue.
Yes, they tend to do that with most yes. of the yes. So hopefully something comes of this. And you don't have to go any further with it, and they do sit down and talk about it, and you get your members the pension that they deserve. Nobody should be left without a pension, and then left saying, we're not the employer, we don't, you know, yet they are.
They're fundamentally, they are the employer. Mm. They dictate everything. They dictate when people retire. They dictate the terms and conditions. Mm-hmm. They dictate whether you can have a pay rise or not. Mm. You know, they make the call. The sponsoring group or the companies themselves that were set up have absolutely no autonomy to deal with that. Mm. You know,
yes.
It's all dictated by the government. So really, they are the shadow employer. It's just that they don't want to be seen as the employer.
Yes, yes. They want to keep tabs on everything and rule the roost. But then when it comes to money, no, we're not the employer. Yeah. And then you're just leaving people out in the wilderness, basically, working for who? Yeah. But I really hope now that somebody listens, they stand up and listen, because I feel the CE schemes are, you know, they're a great way for people to get back into the workforce, to learn new skills. You know, it's a great thing that they came up with many, many years ago. And I wish the guys every luck today. And
thank
we might be
much,
talking Kate. To you again to see the outcome, and hopefully it's favourable, Eddie.
Great stuff. Thank you very much indeed.
No problem. Take care.